Okay, right. Let's get started. Okay, so congratulations on your award. Can you tell us why you received it?
Thank you very much. So the award was for Operation Annex, which was a six-month long operation that I kind of designed and then led last year in response to antisocial or chronic antisocial behaviour in a local estate, which involved local kids smoking drugs and causing antisocial behaviour, but also they were themselves at risk of criminal exploitation by older members of the groups. And so the project focused on kind of not only reducing the ASB, but also making sure that we were working with partners and internal departments, also external departments as well, to safeguard the children, raise the risk of the children to the right people. And yeah, we had some really good results. So got the award in the end for that.
Amazing. Congratulations. What is a police now graduate leadership program and how does it differ from the usual police training?
So the police now graduate program is similar to normal police training in that you enter as a police officer. It's a 2-year probation and then after that you're free to do whatever you want. But how it differs is that it only takes in graduates and it tries to attract people that wouldn't normally join policing, with the aim of getting people in who are more focused on kind of the socioeconomic deprivation root causes of crime, and people who are more focused on kind of problem solving to lead to long-term change, not only within the neighborhoods through problem solving, but also within the police itself by kind of a change in kind of this mindset and looking to address long-term issues rather than addressing stuff as and when there is. The program is kind of designed, again, 2 years probation, but at the start of it, we do a kind of a intensive training. So rather than 13 weeks, we do 6 weeks training. And throughout the program, we have additional training inputs and secondment opportunities in different departments and stuff. So we get a rounded experience. And we have to do problem solving projects every kind of 4 or 5 months, which we go out into our own areas, find out any problem we want to address, and then we come up with a plan and we implement it. And we measure the success of that. So this is what I did. And Operation Annex was my project for Police Now, but I ended up winning the award for it.
Great, thank you. What does your role in the police involve on a day-to-day basis?
So until about a month ago, I was the neighbourhood officer. That's a core role on the Police Now programme. And my role, and I was on that programme, on that team for about a year and a half. And that my main role involved coming into day and then looking at what happened overnight and trying to identify any repeating patterns or any chronic crime that had been going on and any people that were coming to attention repeatedly and try and come up with some kind of solution to reduce, to address the underlying causes of that problem so that we didn't keep on getting the symptoms of the issue repeatedly to the police and the police goes and then deals with an emergency and it happens again. And my role was to work with the council, with housing, with children's services, mental health services, and to come up with a rounded, holistic solution to problems such as vulnerable adults in a house where the house is taken over by drug dealers, using policing powers, but also with other departments and other agencies to kind of support the vulnerable adult, or like this project, looking, identifying risk, criminal exploitation risk in children and then raising the risk to that and then making sure children's services and other departments are supporting the children. So it was anything chronic, any repeated crime, looking at that, identifying it, and then coming up with a solution that would lead to long-term change.
Okay, what worries you when you're doing your job and do you feel safe?
What worries me, I think my personal biggest worry is the lack of resources. And that's not just the police, but also within our partners as well, children's services, housing services, mental health, everybody. And the fact that people then fall through cracks and it falls on individual people to kind of pick that up and really, bang the head against the wall and raise a risk. But that's just a natural consequence of, lack of that. And that really, really worries me because that I see the consequences of that on a day-to-day basis, especially on a neighbourhood role, because these people then end up repeatedly come into detention, the police and the criminal justice system, end up in a cycle of, the police, courts, prison, back again to the police, courts, prison. So what was the second question? Do I feel
safe?
safe? Yes, it's a bit scary initially when you start, and the transition from being a complete civilian to being a police officer in uniform and everybody looks to you to make the decisions to protect them is very scary at first. But we have very good processes and risk assessment systems, and you've always got someone on your back, supporting you, guiding you, and you always know if the situation does turn a bit, you know, difficult, then you've got people to help you out. So, you know, and it builds a really good camaraderie, and you know, you work as a team. So,
great, thank you. How has policing changed during lockdown?
During lockdown, I think one of the biggest things we noticed was the increase in antisocial behaviour, and on the neighbourhood role that I was in, that was a very a visible thing that we had to deal with on a day-to-day basis. One of the things that hampered us was that during COVID we couldn't do any community engagement, so we couldn't do our normal kind of, you know, meet beats or resident meetings or any community group meetings and stuff, and that leads to us not really being in touch with the community or really in touch with the problems and who's causing the problems and stuff. So that was a bit difficult, and adjusting that to virtual settings was a bit difficult, but you know, I think crisis leads to opportunity as well. And because of that, we've also managed to come across some working processes and stuff that have been a lot more effective and you know, led to some really great results. So we've become much more, you know, remote working, working virtually, increasing certain kinds of crime, and then decreasing certain other kinds of crime. And you know, it's about managing it ultimately. You know, crime doesn't really go away. It's about how you manage that level.
Okay, how is the Surrey Force strengthening diversity?
So Surrey Police, especially since last year, since the murder of George Floyd and the whole discussion around Black Lives Matter globally and within the UK as well, in response to that, I think this has been a very kind of a vibrant discussion in most organisations, because we have a public that does demand political awareness and a stand on this. And naturally, in response to that, Surrey Police also did kind of, you know, engage very honestly with the whole topic. And as a result of that, we did lead to some quite exceptional changes in processes. I'm involved in the BAME staff network within Surrey Police as well, and I've personally seen a lot more honesty from senior leaders around the need for racial equality and need for change in processes. We've seen an increase in a number of diversity in new applicants coming into the police force, discussions around how do we improve retention of BAME staff, looking at, you know, catering to diverse needs of diverse applicants, and, you know, open conversation, importantly for me, open conversation around these ideas of positive discrimination in inverted commas, or Surrey Police being too politically correct, and et cetera. I think we're much more brave and honest when it comes to these conversations. I think that's a really good starting point.
Yes, definitely. Do you think there's still a long way to go before equality is achieved within the police?
I think the police force is a representative sample of society. And I am, you know, I've said this before as well to police now and in different avenues. I am under no impression there's not problems in the police. But I think the police is a representative sample of the population, and we are not there as a population, as a country, as a society. And so naturally, yes, there are issues in the police as well. Why there's different in the police is that we have a lot more responsibility and a lot more power, which means that we have to be a lot more careful and sensitive around these issues and topics, and are in a lot more spotlight a lot more. So I think, yes, definitely there are difficulties and there is a long way to go, but that is, we as society have a long way to go. And I think having honest conversation and facing our kind of present, but also our history and how that lingers on in our present, in our thinking, in our decision-making, is very important. And we as society need to face that. And I think the last year, personally, I felt that has been really good in starting the conversation in that direction. But yes, there's progress to be made.
Okay, and final question. Do you support Priti Patel's request that more body cam footage is shared with the public to help stop abuse against officers?
I think transparency is always a good thing in policing, especially in within our policing model of policing by consent. I think transparency improves this notion of organisational justice, and it improves confidence in policing, and it makes policing a lot easier because it makes the environment a lot more conducive to policing. And we're not coming in on top of people as an authority, but rather we're gaining people's trust and understanding problems a lot more, and then coming up with solutions that are a lot more effective and suited to the local population. So I think anything that improves transparency, I personally welcome that. I don't see how that could be an issue. Yes, there might be a bit of difficulty in terms of, processes and things, but I think especially in a digital age that we live in, we do need to adapt to that and work with that. So yeah, I think better transparency is definitely the way to go.